Will you pray with me? Lord, may the words of my mouth and may the meditation of all our hearts and minds be acceptable and pleasing to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Now, I have to admit, I really just wanted the last part of that hymn about the Lord being my strength and my shield and giving thanks, and into you I give my trust. But I felt it wasn't fair to the scripture if I just took the part of the psalm that I wanted and not the whole context of it. And so here we see in this psalm the plea for help, the plea that we can hear the needs around it of what is pressing upon the psalmist and what has them afraid, but then also the faith and the trust in God and the thanksgiving there. And thanksgiving. The words thank you. They're two very simple yet powerful words that we too often fail to use as much as we should. Now think for a minute about the last time you said thank you. And I don't mean the quick I say it because I'm supposed to thank you, but I mean the really deep and meaningful words of appreciation to someone, something, or to God. I'll give you a second to think about it. Your last real, genuine thank you. Got it in your head? All right. Now think about the last time you should have said thank you, but somehow it just did not come out for whatever reason that might be. When was the last time you should have and could have said thank you, but didn't? Got that one in your head? Now let's think about these two. The time that we did give gratitude and the time that we did not. Most likely, remembering the time that you said thank you lifted you up, and the time of remembering when you did not say thank you did not lift you up. Why? Because gratitude lifts us up. Harvard Health Research tells us, and I quote, "Gratitude is strongly and consistently associated with greater happiness. Gratitude helps people feel more positive emotions, relish good experiences, improve their health, deal with adversity, and build strong relationships." You see, gratitude is just good for us, isn't it? Gratitude is not necessarily just something we express like the words thank you, but gratitude can be thought of as a mental state of mind and can benefit our whole being. Our Wednesday night Bible study, we're going through a book by Brené Brown, and she talks about this wholehearted living that we are called to and is tackling the issues of what prevents us from wholehearted living and what allows us to have this wholehearted living. And I believe gratitude is right within that wholehearted living of how we live with our whole being to the extent that we are built and called to do. Now, one out of every six psalm is about thanksgiving. Think about that. One out of every six. This is somewhere between 24 and 36 psalms, depending on who you research. I did not go through all 150 and count them. So I'll rely on those that say 24 and those that say 36, and one of the two of them is correct. But what do? They stop everything and take a posture of gratitude towards the one who created us and sustains us. This posture of gratitude. Now what if, think for a second, if one out of every six thoughts that we had was a thought of gratitude and thanksgiving? What if one out of every six statements that came out of our mouth was gratitude or thanksgiving to someone, something, or to God? How would that change the way you live and who you are? Would it change anything, or would it change everything? One out of every six thoughts focused on what you have and the appreciation for the source of it is healthier and leads to greater happiness than spending our time thinking about what we lack, don't have, or what we desire. Think about it. If we go back to that quote and break it down, and let me tell you, if you Google benefits of gratitude, you'll get all sorts of lists. The 3 reasons, the 5 reasons, the 6 reasons, the 10 reasons. I'm sure that there could be any number of reasons. But here are the 6 that I appreciated and thought could help us. Gratitude can make us happier. You ever heard somebody just grumpy and grouchy that's actually authentically expressing gratitude? No, when we authentically express gratitude, we come with a smile and a happy heart. Guess what? Gratitude reduces anxiety and depression. Nobody here has anything to be anxious or down about, right? Nothing that could be lifted up by gratitude for what we do have. Gratitude can encourage healthier behaviors. Gratitude can be a motivator behind the choices that we make, the decisions, and how we're living day to day. I don't know about you, but I appreciate that gratitude can improve our physical health. COVID had a lot more time on the couch than times before COVID. And I don't know about you, but my physical health could be helped. Gratitude can strengthen your relationships. Think about it. Any kind of relationship, whether it's a spouse, a parent, a child, a friend, a neighbor, which builds relationships, the time that we spend in gratitude and thanksgiving to one another with that smile on our face, or the times of criticism and downtime. Relationships are stronger when gratitude is at the core. And finally, gratitude can help with recovery. Now, the Psalms help us, but I also appreciate going to the Apostle Paul, much like we did last week. He had so much building in the church and building of who we are as we constantly reference him. So let's look at Paul for a minute. Paul had a practice of expressing gratitude, typically in the opening or closing of his letter, giving thanks to the individual or the community that he is writing to. Over and over again, I give thanks to my God for you. And with thanksgiving and praise, I offer this letter to you. Over and over again. And oftentimes, where was Paul writing from? But times of struggles, imprisonment, or facing his death. And what was he doing? But expressing gratitude and praise. Let's look at the letter to the Philippians. The beginning of it, and I'm gonna start at verse 3, because 1 and 2 are a little more structured in, anyways, I just left out 1 and 2. But let's start at 3. I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. Being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. It is right for me to feel this way about all of you, since I have in you my heart, and whether I am in chains or defending and confirming the gospel, all of you share in God's grace with me. God can testify how I long for all of you with the affection of Jesus Christ. And this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ, to the glory and praise of God. Isn't that a beautiful opening to a letter to a church that Paul had started and who Paul wanted to ensure to express thanks and final instructions to as he sat in a jail cell in Rome? But he uses this really important word. And this word is koinonia. Now, it could be translated several different ways. It could be translated to partnership, which is how we saw it in this text. It could be translated into sharing, which is also used in this text. And it can also be used as fellowship, related into the gospel of Jesus Christ. Koinonia, a powerful and critical word. It is the essence of our Christianity and how we are connected together and how we share in the mission of Jesus Christ. Koinonia is what we are doing right now. As I speak and you listen, as we sing together, as we share together, as we sit with one another, as we fellowship before and after the service, we are in koinonia. When we log into Zoom to attend Bible study, we are in koinonia. As we are sharing in the gospel, partnering in the work that we do as we are gathered together, the work of learning and understanding the Word of God, but also in the fellowship with one another. Like I said, baby Woody started coming into Bible study, and there's a koinonia of his partnership that he brings us joy, much like the animals have been doing through Zoom. Who knew that animals could be so exciting to Bible study? Kathy's laughing in the front row, and oftentimes it's the tail of her cat that goes by the screen, and we say, "Hi, Mary Jane." We see great partnership as we gather to help with outreach lunch, where we need people who can cook, people who can donate food, people who can pick up bakery items, people who can help pack boxes, people who can help transport boxes from the social hall to the front door. Who knew that wheeling a cart full of food could be such a critical job? But it is. And those who hand out food and talk to guests. Koinonia at its best. Koinonia within our committees. Those who sacrifice some of their time, energy, and intelligence to be able to lead our church, sometimes needing to make tough and critical decisions, sometimes getting to have fun in the stuff that we do, but critical koinonia in our church and helping us to be who we are. Koinonia that happens in so many different ways. Here from jail, Paul is rejoicing in a community that has been his partner. 16 times throughout the 4-chapter book of Philippians, Paul expresses joy from jail, waiting for his possible death sentence for treason. In a place where Paul could be grumbling and complaining, Paul is choosing to rejoice, to give thanks, and continue to uplift those in his flock. Today we rejoice in our koinonia. It's what we should call our stewardship, is our koinonia, the way that we are partners in ministry, the ways that we work together to do the good work that God has called us to do, the ways that we partner in making sure things are happening as God has called us to do them. The way that we partner in making new disciples of Jesus Christ as people walk through these doors for the first time. Our koinonia, as we lift up one another in the most difficult of times as well. And I have to tell you, I am so incredibly grateful for this community. So incredibly grateful for each and every one of you. You don't know it, but every time somebody's coming into worship for the first time and getting to see you back in here, my pastor heart jumps with joy, and I get excited as one more of our church has been able to be back with us. I even rejoice as I see the names popping up on YouTube and Facebook of who is watching, because that is even our continuing of our koinonia, using the internet to be able to connect together and to share in what we are doing with one another. And boy, I wish I could sit and just list the names of the partners in this church, of those who have shared and who have given. But I think last week's marathon sermon was enough for this month, so I won't do that this week. But know that it is with gratitude that I come before you this morning, thankful for each one of you and what you bring to this community. And so with that, I invite us to pray, to give thanks to God through an affirmation of faith, a modern affirmation of faith that comes from our hymnal, and I invite us to share together. We believe in God the Father, infinite in wisdom, power, and love, whose mercy is over all his works, and whose will is ever directed to his children's good. We believe in Jesus Christ, Son of God and Son of Man, the gift of the Father's unfailing grace, the ground of our hope, and the promise of our deliverance from sin and death. We believe in the Holy Spirit as the divine presence in our lives, whereby we are kept in perpetual remembrance of the truth of Christ and find strength and help in time of need. We believe that this faith should manifest itself in the service of love as set forth in the example of our beloved Lord, to the end that the kingdom of God may come upon the earth. Amen. And now I invite us into our closing hymn, number 467, Trust and Obey.